Morning. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Eagles Way. We're glad that you're here. Happy St. Paddy's Day, right? I give you full permission to pinch the person next to you if they are not wearing green, because I see tons of people that have no green on. So, there you go. Half the band up here. Nobody wore green but me. Anyways, we're glad that you're here. It's a great morning. We're going to sing some hymns for you this morning. I'm glad Shane could make it this morning. Shane's a great leader for us. Very thankful for Shane. He came from North Carolina last night, helping with Mac Powell and Jason Horde. He does a great Jason Horde impression. I'm hoping he'll do it during the service today, if you know Jason Horde. Anyways, thank you guys for being here. We got baptism today, a special day here in the house. Let's stand and let's worship. Chris is ready.
Fix the blood. About, I've told you guys before, 'Tis So Sweet is probably my favorite hymn. I used to sing it to Willow every night, and we still do sing that before her bedtime. But I'm just so thankful this morning that it is so sweet. Opportunities that we get would ever come to us if we just didn't have faith that God brings these opportunities for us. And when we listen to those nudges and those whispers of God saying, just take a step in this direction, and everything that you will need will just flow to you effortlessly. So thank you, God, this morning that you are the single most important. You're our foundation. You are the cornerstone, God. We give you all of our worship and praise this morning as we stand here and hear some of these traditional tunes with our hearts open and being willing to take that step in the direction that you're calling us to. And trusting that when we let go of some things that are comfortable, when we let go of some things that we're used to, when we let go of some things that keep us living maybe in this box, maybe what other people think that we should be doing, but we know inside that you've called us to something a little bit different. You've called us to relationships with people. You've called us to experience opportunities that expand our faith in you, and we get to share that with other people. Thank you for your word and for your promises that you constantly provide. You're constantly protecting. You're constantly loving. We lift up these last few moments that we have in this worship experience with you, God. We love you.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest rain, but only trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest rain, but only trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong. In the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When dark darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. Faultless I stand before the throne. Christ alone. Cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Sing it, church.
Christ alone, cornerstone. Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all.
our voices.
I exalt thee.
Every voice in the room. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for the hope that we get to stand on and walk in and carry with us. We love you so much, Father. Thank you.
Or imagine, according to the power that worketh in us. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above anything we could ask or imagine. How many know that if you'd have walked up to Mary a week before Gabriel talked to her, even an hour before Gabriel talked to her and said to Mary, "You're going to give birth to the Son of God," how many knows that would have been unimaginable? She couldn't have imagined giving birth to the Son of God. If you had asked Peter, just a little while after the crucifixion, "Peter, you're going to be one of the 12 foundations of the city. You're going to be one of the 12 apostles that the foundations of the whole church is going to be built upon. You're going to be one of those foundations." How many know that he would have said, "That's unimaginable. I just denied him. I didn't just deny him. I cursed and denied him. I lied. And I said, I don't know him." It would have been unimaginable for Peter to have said, "I'm going to be one of the 12 foundations." It would have been unimaginable for Moses before the burning bush experience. If somebody said to Moses, "Moses, you're going to be the deliverer of the children of Israel out of bondage. You're going to lead millions of people out of slavery and bring them to the promised land," he would have said, "That's unimaginable." Had you said to me when I was 20 years old that I'd be standing here doing what I'm doing, I would have said, "That's unimaginable." And I know that you are here today, and you know, as you look over your life, it's unimaginable where you are today, where God has brought you to. In Ephesians chapter 3, begin reading at verse 8, "Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ." How many know that before the Damascus Road experience, had you said to the Apostle Paul, who was hauling Christians off to be martyred, had you said to him, "You're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles," he would have said, "That's unimaginable. I can't imagine doing that." And he said, "I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, has kept secret from the beginning." I am going to proclaim this mysterious plan. Say mysterious. A mystery is not something that cannot be figured out, but it is something that has to be figured out. Okay, one person got that. A mystery is not something that cannot be figured out, but it is something that has to be figured out. I've been figuring it out for a long, long time. And just when I think I got it figured out, I realize I don't have it figured out. I was telling the Wednesday night service that if this could possibly happen, if you said to me, "Buren, you can be any age." See, people ask me how old I am. I'll be 68 the week after. But if you ask me how old I am, I'll tell you whatever age I want to be. I'm every age I've ever been. Right now, I'm 67. I'll be 68. But I'm also 28. I'm whatever age I want to be, because I'm not lying. If you say, "How old are you?" and I say 28, I'm at least. But if you say, "Buren, you could pick any age you want to be for the rest of your life here on this planet, but you have to accept the same spiritual, emotional, and physical strength that you have for the rest of that time," I would pick this age. because I've realized as I've gotten older how much I didn't know. You know how you get smart? You don't get smart by learning stuff. You get smart by realizing what you don't know. And I've realized over the years how much I don't know. I remember coming up, Mom and Dad used to say to me every now and then, "You're getting too smart for your britches." Anybody ever, did your parents ever tell you you're getting too smart for you? I never knew what that really meant. But I knew what it meant to have the smart knocked out of my britches. I did realize that. I didn't know what it was to be too smart for my britches, but I knew what it was to get the smart knocked out of my britches. How many know that young people know everything? I mean, he's got a teenager. Did you know how smart a 14-year-old is? Unbelievable. Anna's 14. You don't debate her about anything, because she knows more than you know, and you're not going to win. I picked her up at school, and she wanted to play basketball the next day, but she had a thing. I said, "Well, you can't do it. It's physically impossible for this to happen." She argued with me all the way from Milner to Griffin that the next day that she could get on a bus, she could go to Noonan, she could play in a basketball game, get back on the bus, get back to the school, be picked up and be at a certain place, which was physically impossible. All I could do is say, I give up. I can't convince you of that. I can't convince you of that. 14-year-old boy turned 21 and he told his daddy, he said, "I can't believe how smart you got in 7 years. Can't believe how smart you got," because he realized the older you get, the more you realize how much you don't know. You don't know. There's a mystery going on in the world. It's a mystery. It's a mystery of the kingdom of God. Jesus told his disciples, "I speak to you in parables because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." You need to be so grateful and so thankful that it's been given unto you the ability to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the mysteries of it. It's a mysterious thing. It's a mystery how that you can be going down this world and turn around and go the other way just that quick. You can be enlightened just that quick to know I have been born again by the Spirit of the living God, and I'm not the person that I used to be, but I'm the person that I'm going to be. It's a mystery. It's a mystery how that happens. There's a mystery of darkness out there. There's a kingdom of light and there's a kingdom of darkness. The dark is getting darker, but the light is getting brighter. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. You know, how many know our atmosphere has been going through some strange things this year? Tornadoes, ice storms. I mean, just the atmosphere has been... I'm going to tell you what I believe. You don't have to accept this. What I believe has happened. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 that the thoughts and the intent of man's heart was only evil continually. I believe it disrupted the atmosphere. I don't believe God came down and is going to judge the world with a flood. I believe God just came down and said to Noah, there's going to be a flood. And this is why. Because the intent of man's thoughts are evil continually. We've got to change the thoughts of this nation. This nation has got to stop its bitterness, its judgment, its negativity. It's disrupting the atmosphere of the... He is called the principalities of the air that we war against. We're warring against a kingdom of darkness that we are though of the kingdom of light. That's a mystery. It's a mystery. Mystery how I can one moment be thinking so positively and have this good stuff going on in my head. And next thing I know, I'm thinking just the opposite of that. What is that? It's a mystery. It's a battle that's going on. It's a battle between the spirit and the flesh. I don't know why I'm coming from with all of this. This wasn't prepared. There's a battle between the spirit and the flesh that's going on continually. I'm fighting that battle every single day of my life. And I've got to choose every day of my life which one I'm going to listen to, the spirit of God or the flesh. Because there is a flesh. There is an evil spirit in the world. There is a darkness that I'm battling against. Amen? It's a battle that's going on, and I got to choose. It's a mystery. So I came to share this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, has kept secret from the beginning. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. Now listen, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. Who is the devil? Listen to this next phrase. Are you ready? It's not on the screen. So don't go there. Who is this devil? Who is he? I've heard all my life about him. Have you? Called the accuser of the brethren. That's one thing he's called. He's called the great deceiver. He's called the serpent who deceived Adam and Eve to partake of a tree of knowledge of good and evil they were not to partake of. Who is he? I got your attention? I think I got your attention. Who is he? I'm going to tell you who he's not. He's not a red being with horns and a long perforated tail. That's not him. The next phrase says, he is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who disobey God. Wow. Who is he? He is that lying, deceiving spirit that I battle every single day of my life. Every day. Jesus looked at Peter one time and he said this to Peter one time, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven, upon this rock I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell is not going to prevail against it. What you just identified who I really am. Then at another time, Jesus says, I'm going to the cross. And Peter says, no, not so, Lord. You're not going to a cross. Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Boy, that'd be encouraging. The Son of the living God that you spent 3.5 years with, who said that you're so smart that the kingdom of God's going to be built upon this statement you just made. To get behind me, Satan, he was saying the spirit that you're speaking from is a deceptive spirit. It's not the spirit of truth. It's not the spirit of truth. There's three things you need to know to get through life. You got to hear God, say, hear God. This is profound. This is a great revelation. It'll be unbelievable. You got to hear God, and you got to believe God. That's two different things. Hearing and believing is too. Anna was hearing me for 15 minutes, but she wasn't believing me. How many has ever talked to your kid? You know your children are hearing you, but how many know they're not believing you? They're hearing you, but they're not believing. If you do that one more time, they don't believe you. And even if you go through with it, they still didn't believe you. If you don't go through with it, they don't believe you at times. We have got to not only hear God, but we have to believe God. I hear God, I believe God, and I obey. Oh, God. I hear him, then I got to believe him, then I got to obey him. That is the trilogy of life, if you will. It's going to happen day in and day out. You hear him, you believe him, and you obey him. You hear him, you believe him, and you obey him. God's How many know God's still speaking? How many know that God didn't stop talking after this was written? Do you really know that? How many has ever heard your daddy or your mother or a brother and hear God? How many has ever heard this spirit inside you speak to you? I heard God speak to me this week. He says, Buren, because you've renewed your love for the church and you've renewed your love for me and the Word, I'm going to show you things that you've never seen before. I said, oh, God, thank you. I believe that. And I'm going to obey, but I got to obey that. So I can't just sit in the chair and go, give it to me. Give it to me. How many know it's not going to happen? It's going to happen because I spend some time here in prayer and talking to God and listening to God. And just so you remember, when you pray, don't forget to listen. Pray 10% and listen 90%. Prayers are not heard by how long they are. Prayers are heard by how sincere they are. And then once you talk to God, let Him talk back. You ever talk to somebody and they won't listen? All they want to do is talk? How annoying is that? I mean, they talk, and then when you get ready to say something, they don't hear a word you're saying because they're thinking about what they're going to say to you next. That's why the Bible says be swift to hear. Say swift to hear. Slow. Slow. Oh, yeah. Slow to speak. Slow to speak. Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Wow. No, I don't know where I got this from. I wrote it down. Can I read it to you? Sure. The greatest moments in our lives is when human impotence and divine omnipotence intersect. Prayer's greatest purpose is not a divine to-do list. Its greatest purpose is to be aware of God's presence so He can outline His agenda for our lives. Prayer is putting myself in a place that I can hear God speak to me. Because when He does, He will tell you the unimaginable. He'll tell you things that you, in your own mind and heart, is beyond what you can imagine. I can't believe that. I can't imagine that kind of life. Because that's what He wants us to have. God has determined that certain expressions of His power will only be expressed in response to prayer. I told the crowd Wednesday night, 100% of unasked prayers go unanswered. 100% of them. We have not because we ask not. If we don't ask, we don't receive it. And God's chosen, I won't do anything until you ask. I won't intercede. I won't come in. I won't do anything that I'm not asked. How many know the Holy Spirit's a gentleman above anything and everything else? You can grieve Him. You can quench Him. He's a gentleman. He's not going to barge in. He'll wait for the invitation to come in. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was His eternal plan, which He carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, this, you think you got up, getting up in the morning and you're getting ready and you're going to work and that's all that's happening. If that's all you see is the natural world that's going around you, you're missing out on what's happening. There's an unseen world and it's a mysterious thing that's happening. And our thoughts and our words, our prayers, our attitude has everything to do with what's going to happen. Everything. I read this. I'm not smart enough to write this, so I had to copy this right out of a book, okay? It may feel like you're sitting still right now, but you're not. You're on a planet that's rotating on its axis at 1,000 miles per hour. Like clockwork, it makes one full revolution every 24 hours. And if that isn't amazing enough, planet Earth is moving around the sun at speeds approaching 67,000 miles per hour. So the next time you feel like you've had an unproductive day, remind yourself that you did travel more than 1.5 million miles through space today. A whole lot more. That's just in the natural realm. What's going on in the spiritual realm? A lot. And you got to know that your thoughts and your prayers and your attitude and your faith means everything. Somebody told me one time, I don't need the church, therefore I don't go to church. And it was beyond my comprehension because I never thought I needed the church. I got quiet. Church needs me. I don't come to church because I need the church. That's not why I come. Church needs me. You're not here because you need us. I could talk to God in a fishing boat. If I did what I want to do, I'd be at the Gulf of Mexico today, out in the deep blue sea fishing, talking to God, and being spiritual. Yes. I really would. Wouldn't you? Calvin's grinning like a Cheshire cat back there. He's going, me too. Me too. Yeah. If I did what I wanted to do, I don't need you. You need me, and you need each other. Oh, it's quiet. Paul said he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the stature, the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ, that we be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but we may grow up unto him. And speaking the truth in love, that every ligament, every joint, every part of his body is edifying itself in love. We need you. We need you. You don't need us. We need you. I don't come to church because I need church. I come to church because church need me. You're here because we need you. We need your measure of faith. I need your measure of spirit. I need your measure of grace. That's how it works. Come on, church, get with me. That's how it works. So next time you say, I don't need church, you're right. You don't need it, but they need you. We need you. We need you. We need each other. This whole thing is about one another. Love one another. Pray for one another. Submit to one another. It's a one another, forgive one another, tolerate one another, put up with one another. Yeah. We need one another. That's what this mysterious plan, this eternal plan is carried out through the body. Oh. Somebody help me preach. Come on. We need each other. And that's why I looked at the person, I said, I never thought of it that way. I never thought of the family of God or a church or an expression of Christ in the earth as something that I needed. I've always seen it as something that they need me. Because let me tell you something, if you don't feel like you have a part and you matter, you won't. If you don't feel like you're just that little baby right there is just a vital part of this being body right now as I am. In him, there's something flowing as a grace. There's a measure of faith. It's in that little baby right there, emanating from him. Can I father you today? I mean, I'm being daddy this morning. I'm just being daddy today. I just want to talk to you from my heart. We need each other. It's not about, do I need you? Me and Calvin would rather be at the Gulf of Mexico catching fish, right? We'd rather be there. I promise you, I'd rather be there. I ain't gonna lie. Kingdom of God, though, is important. It's important. Oh, don't get me on the kingdom. Destiny was a little, I was told by well-meaning, powerful people, Buren, you'll never see your daughter graduate from high school. The rapture is going to take place before then. You'll never see your daughter. She's about to see three kids graduate. Within 8 years, three of her children are going to graduate. Thank God I had enough sense to put away some money for her college, because we had to pay every penny for her college. I had a hope back then, but it wasn't based on your grades, it was based on income. I don't know how we got outside that thing, but we did. Well, when he's going to get us all out of here. He ain't got us out of here yet. And you better stop planning for him to get us out of here, and you better start planning what you're going to do while you're here. Every time I get worried because spirit of confession comes on me and I say things I ought not say. And I go home and I ask God, I say, God, forgive me for saying that. And he forgives me. And I said, I won't do that anymore. And he goes, liar. He said, yes, you will. But when you do, just come ask me for forgiveness and I'll forgive you again. I mean, really, we got that kind of relationship. I learned a long time ago. I don't know why I'm saying all this, Will. I learned a long time ago. Just tell him the truth because he knows it. I said, God, I won't do that again. He says, liar. Yes, you will. You will do it again. You'll say it again. But it's okay. I will forgive you again. Aren't you glad you got that kind of Heavenly Father? Stop lying to him. He knows you. He knows, before you even speak, he knows what you're going to say. Just, I got to hurry. I just got to talk. You and I are put here on this planet for more than we see. So much more. Not just to have children. Not just to raise children. That's part of it. We're here for more. More. More than we can imagine. More than we can imagine. I wish you could see yourself the way God sees you. I wish you could. Because what you see in the mirror is not reality. There is so much more than that. Exceedingly, abundantly more. Unimaginably more. So much more, more. When you came into the kingdom, he says, you got love. I want you to have more love. When you came into the kingdom, you got faith. He says, I want you to have more faith. I want you to increase in more knowledge. I want you to know me more. Next year, I want you to know me more. I want more, more. The word for all of us is always more. Because there's no such thing as standing still. It's not. You're moving forward or you're moving backwards. You really are. There's no standing still. You're moving forward or you're moving back. We used to call it backsliding years ago. Anybody ever heard the term? Maybe you just need to preach on backsliding. I hadn't used that term in a long time. How do I know I backslid? You hadn't moved forward. If you hadn't moved forward, you backslid. Yeah. There's a such thing as, it's a biblical word called backsliding. You quit praying, you quit going to church, you quit giving, you quit loving, you backsliding. Okay. Proverbs 16. says, we can make our plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. Don't you love that? People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. The Lord's made everything for his own purposes, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests the proud. They will surely be punished. Unfailing love and faithfulness make atonement for sin. But by fearing the Lord, people avoid evil. When people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them. Better to have a little with godliness than to be rich and dishonest. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. We have to, though, make our plans. And as we make our plans, he established, the better word for determines, established. Let me tell you what established means. It comes from a Hebrew word, kan. Determined, prepares, provides, sets in place, directs, firmly decides, makes secure. Wow. How many want that to happen? Okay. All right, let me come down here and talk to you a minute. He will do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything we could even ask or think or imagine. Acts chapter 12 says, about that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostles James, John's brother, killed with a sword. This was a John whose mother came up to Jesus and says to Jesus, "Can my son, when your kingdom's established, can my son sit on your right side and the other one on your left side?" Now, that's a mama. That's what my mother would have done. She went up to Jesus and said, "Jesus, when your kingdom gets established, can Buren sit on one side and Eddie on the other side?" I know the answer to that would be, "Yeah, Buren can." No, I'm just kidding. No, I really am not kidding. See, I lied. See, I'm not kidding. Jesus says, if they can drink the cup, James drank the cup. James lived his life. He drank that cup. Now watch what happens. When Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. Then he imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. Now, let me tell you what they were not praying for, and you'll prove it in a moment. They weren't praying for Peter to get out of prison. They were praying to protect Peter that he doesn't die like James died. I don't know why. Why does James get a sword pierced through him? Why does bad things happen to really good people? How many know that was a bad thing happened to a very good person? The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, "Quick, get up." And the chains fell off his wrist, and the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals." And he did. "Now put on your coat and follow me," the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell, following the angel, but all the time he thought it was a vision. Unimaginable. Listen, he woke him up, put on your sandals, get your coat, let's walk out. Chains fell off of him, and he's walking out. Peter finally came to his senses. It's really true. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer, he knocked at the door and the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, "Peter's at the door." "You're out of your mind," they said. She insisted. They decided it must be his angel. They weren't praying for him to get out. If they were praying for him to get out, they would have said, "Prayer answered." They were praying maybe God protect him. What did he do? He did exceedingly, abundantly, above anything they could even ask or think. When you pray, he will do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we think. Man, if we could just, oh, Lord, if I could just have what I'm asking, he wants you to have more. Sometimes you don't get what you're asking because he's got more in store for you. Yay. Israelites one day. Israelites one day said, man, we're tired of this manna stuff. We just tired of it. And come this way. Okay, go the long way. And say, we want some meat. We want meat. And God said to Moses, said, Israelites want meat. So, see if I can find this. He said, I can't find it. He said, Moses, God said, this time tomorrow, they're not going to believe how much meat they're going to have. Moses said something like this. Don't quote me on it because this is off the cuff. Moses said, I've got 600,000 soldiers. If we caught all the fish in the sea, it wouldn't be enough. If we killed all the cattle, all the herd, if we killed everything and we caught every fish in the sea, it wouldn't be enough to feed these Israelites with meat. And God said to Moses, is my arm not powerful enough? You're talking to the creator of the universe. I'm going to do more than you can imagine. They ate meat. Quail come out from everywhere. They didn't have to shoot them. They had no dogs hunting them. Quail came out from everywhere. Quail. God says, you're going to eat quail till it's going to come out your nostrils. I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly above more than you can even ask or think, because this is a precedence that I'm setting for eternity. This is a precedence I'm setting for eternity. This is a precedence that I'm setting for eternity. I am the God of more than enough. I'm the God of more than enough. I am the God of more than enough. I am the God of more than enough. Where are the other 9 lepers? Where are they? Why didn't they come back and get the more than enough? They left Jesus and went to show themselves to the priest, healed of leprosy. But one came back and gave God praise. And Jesus said, weren't there 10? Because you've come back, I'm going to make you whole. I'm not just healing you of your leprosy, but the finger that you've lost, the ear that you lost, the part of your being that fell off because of this dreaded disease is going to grow back. And that man was made whole because the God who is more than enough desires more than just to answer your prayer. He wants to do exceedingly, even abundantly, above anything that we could even ask or we could even imagine. He is the God of the unimaginable. He is the God that's infinite, not finite, immortal, not mortal, indescribable. all-powerful, all-knowing, all-sufficient. And you give a tithe just to give a tithe, I will exceedingly do abundantly more than you can think by that giving. I'll pour you out blessings out of heaven that there'll not be room enough to receive. You won't be able to contain what I'm going to do. And he's always done that. He's always went above, more, exceedingly, abundantly more than anything you could even ask or think. Peter couldn't imagine it. Chains fall off, doors open. He's the God, he's the chain breaking God, door opening God. He says, come on, come on. Peter, I'm not just going to save your life, I'm going to deliver you from these chains. I'm going to deliver you. These doors are going to open automatically. You're not even going to have to put a key in it, it's just going to open. Unimaginable. I don't know. So next time you pray and you ask God for this or that, know that he's going to do more than that. More than you can imagine. More. Exceedingly, abundantly, more. Just stand. I want you to imagine right now. Imagine right now one thing you desire. Can you do that? Imagine it right now. One thing you desire. I don't care how simple, maybe a job, maybe this or that, maybe healing, whatever it is, just imagine this one thing. It's one thing I desire. Imagine it. See, God, give us an imagination. Now imagine him going beyond that. Imagine you ask God for $1,000. Imagine somebody give you $1,000 before you leave here today. Can you imagine that? I can. I'll imagine it. Anybody feel that froggy leap, you know? Now imagine somebody giving you $1 million. If you're going to imagine, why not imagine, right? If you're going to imagine, imagine. If you just put it that way, instead of asking God for just $1,000, I'll give you $1 million. Just trying to put it in perspective where you get a little understanding of this God we serve, how awesome he is, exceedingly, abundantly, above anything we could even ask or imagine. When I was a young man, I still prayed this prayer almost every day. I go some days and I don't pray it, but almost every day I prayed this one prayer. God, give me wisdom and knowledge and understanding of your word. I pray that almost every single day. When I go back to when I was 25 years old and I think about where I am today, he has gone way beyond anything I could even think and I could even imagine. And see, that means more to me than anything. And it really does. It means more to me than anything. That's why I wouldn't change this age. Because this means more to me than anything. I got all the strength I need, all the strength I want. He said, Beard, you can't run a marathon. I don't want to run a marathon. I said, I got all the strength I need and I want. I got strength to walk 5 miles. I got strength to do other things. But I wouldn't exchange this for nothing. Nothing. No. More. The best is yet to come. If I die today, the best is yet to come. He's that kind of God, all sufficient, all knowing. His omnipotence meets with my impotence, and they intersect in a place called earth, and the flesh and the spirit connect. Oh, the flesh and the spirit connect. What a mystery. And I'm seated with him right now, not one day. I'm seated with him right now in heavenly places. You think I'm standing here? I'm not standing here. You're seeing wrong. I'm seated with him right now in heavenly places, hearing God's voice right now. So I can look at you. Sometimes I can't even call your name out, looking straight at you. I couldn't call your name. You know why? Because I'm not here. I'm really not. I'm in a spiritual realm with him, listening to his voice. When I shut up when he tells me to, I'll stop when he tells me to. Because I'm in that realm, not this realm. I'm in this realm. You can just pray in the spirit beyond your understanding. Go beyond what I can think or imagine. Wow. Can't believe I just did that. I didn't know you spoke in tongues every day. Every day. Because it goes beyond what I think. And praise in a realm that the Spirit of the Lord speaks through. Wow. What do you imagine? This week, I prophesy every single person here is going to receive something in thought, emotion, or spiritual beyond anything you can think or imagine. Think or imagine. You could be riding down the road in the car. Of my greatest revelations come driving. I don't know how I'm driving. And God invades my life. Says something to me I've never heard before. Speaks something to me I never thought before. God spoke to me things I never read in the Bible, but I believed it, and then he confirmed it in his word. I believed some things before I ever knew that it was scriptural. Beyond anything I could even think or imagine. God is a good God, and he is your provider. I'm gonna have baptism, and during this baptism, I'm gonna ask you to do something. And will you come up for a moment after, you know, take care of some housekeeping while I get ready for water baptism? But in this water baptism, I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine that as we place these three different people into this watery grave, and they're raised up to walk in the newness of life. I want you to imagine what, as they go down, you go down into this watery, mysterious grave. How many know water baptism is a mystery? How many know marriage is a mystery? Bible says marriage is a mystery. You think you got it figured out? No. Marriage. I have been married to her for a long, long, long time. I have never figured her out. Never figured her out. 3,100, yeah. Never figured her out. Really? We got money I don't know about? Really? imagine getting something, and you're going into that mysterious water, then you're going to come out of it, and when you come out of it, I better take this off before I get in there. I won't be back. Amen.
You may be seated. As they are getting ready, hopefully as you were coming in today, you grabbed your bulletin. Inside your bulletin is your connection card. All of you that are members here at Eagles Way, we want you to fill that out each and every week. It's a way that you are able to sign up for Rushton Hope this Saturday. I have three regulars that are not going to be helping this Saturday, so I need some additional people. If you've never done it, you need to try it. I need a serve team. It's from 10 until 1 on Saturday. So put that on the check mark on the connection card and drop that in the bucket. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for your faithfulness to serve, to give, to be who God's called you to be here at this house. You are making a difference in this community and people's lives. So awesome. Ushers, you can go ahead. We'll pass those and pick those up. And then at the end of the baptismal service, you'll stand and we'll worship without me having to come back up here. If you haven't been here on Wednesdays for Testify, it's growing. It's growing in numbers of people that are coming out, the testimonies that are happening, hearing of the goodness of God. You do not want to miss it if you can be here. It's worth the effort. I know you got to wait and eat dinner a little later. Throws your schedule off just a bit, but it's awesome. This Wednesday also is our lunch at noon. And I can't remember what we call it right this second. It's escaped me. Being the best you. You need to be here. If you can grab your lunch, come at noon. It's very casual. Be encouraged. This month, Miss Linda is going to be teaching us, talking to us, discussing. Amen. Amen. I think we're ready.
Your confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. testimony, and you kind of shocked us all when you told us that you wanted to be rebaptized. And so tell us why you want to do that today.
Well, then, bear with this. When I was 13 years old, I was baptized in Fort Lee, Florida. And to be honest with you, I was baptized out of fear because as a kid coming up, I was told that if you sinned, you did wrong, God would get you. And I mean, it was a fear. I think if I didn't, that I was going to be in trouble. I couldn't get out of it. But over the years, I've learned that that's not true. And today, I want to be baptized out of love. It's love for God, for my Savior. That's how I feel in my heart. And I think back, the fear that I'm talking about wasn't me being afraid of being baptized, because a lot of good things have come out of it, because it's led me through my walk in life as to where I am right now. So it wasn't a bad decision, it wasn't a wrong thing to do, but I just want to do that for my own benefit and possibly for the benefit of maybe someone here in the congregation that feels the same way, that you would like to share this. Let's just stand up and show the world, yeah, I want to do this for the right reasons. Amen. And my youngest daughter I was telling her the other day, I'm going to be baptized again, because I was when I was 14. And she said, well, that's probably a good thing, because I bet you sinned a lot since you were 14. And I got a good laugh out of it. But yes, I probably have. And you know, I have, a lot of times I turn my back on God, and I went a lot of different directions, but one thing I learned about what a benchmark is the Word of God is the benchmark. I always come back, and I always came back.
Right.
And now I'm back now, and I'm here today to tell you, this congregation that I love, that I'm here to stay.
Several years ago, I was deep sea fishing. And if y'all follow me on Facebook, you know that you don't even know I'm there. But I posted something on Facebook that day. I had Jim and Gary London in the boat with me. And I took a picture of them, and I posted, I'm fishing with the salt of the earth. And I believe that with all my heart. To them, based upon your confession of faith and how you decided to live your life the way you live your life, I baptize you today. Freshen in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Good morning. Today is a super special day for me. I get to baptize my youngest son, Jet Tackle, and share that with Dad. We're both going to get to do that. And we're excited to see all the wonderful things that come from today. So get ready. We're going to do it.
Hello, my name is Jet Tackle, and my parents are Dusty and Iris. Iris! Delete that. Hello, my name is Jet Tackle. My parents are Chris and Dusty Tackle. And the reason why I want to be baptized is so I can truly know God.
Jet was trying to say Ivar. His dad's name is really not Chris. That's a nickname. His name is actually Ivar Olaf Tackle. And he was, mother was at a salon one time. So what's your son's name? He said, Ivar Olaf. They said, you can't name a kid that. You've got to give him a nickname or something. So Chris was his nickname. So he was trying to say Ivar Chris, I think. But Iris came out. You want that? I'm going to do that. Jet Tackle, according to your profession, your faith, your desire and willingness to serve him all the days of your life, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Let's stand and worship.
Trust the sweet.